Tad Johnson joins us in our studios this morning. He is the head of the University of Minnesota Duluth Masters in Tribal Government Program, and he's an attorney and a professor, and it's always great to have you in the studio. Tad, good morning. Hi.
Good morning. Great to be here.
It's one of the things that you and your department do that is fascinating is a tribal-state relations training. You've worked with a variety of different organizations, state organizations. Sometimes you'll have a training for one state organization and folks from other organizations will come in and join. The one that you have been working on most recently is with MnDOT. And tell us a little bit about how this training came about, because it isn't just an effort necessarily to be warm and fuzzy and nice. It has to do with government-to-government relations, and it has to do with a mandate from our governor.
Yeah, like a lot of things, it started informally. I had friends that were American Indians working for the state that would have me come down and talk to their departments about the big picture of federal tribal-state relations. And then a lot of governors had done executive orders on a tribal consultation policy between the state and the tribes in the state. So I was with a group of folks that drafted up the governor's executive order. And within the governor's executive order, there was a requirement that people working for the state that actually go to reservations or deal with Indian people on a regular basis end up that they're going to need to take some kind of training, at least and the original idea was to do kind of this overall training and then do cultural training and then do individual department training. So far, we're still at the 101 level where we're teaching kind of tribal-state relations. And so the governor signed the order in 2013. We started the training here at UMD, did a pilot program, and then we taught the first one at Prairie Island. And I think we've done 16 of them so far. So we train 100 people at a time. And MnDOT funds it, and they've been very we've been very good friends. We have a partnership between continuing education here at UMD and MnDOT. So other folks from other departments sign up for the training, and there's always a waiting list, I'm told, by the state folks. So it's become kind of a popular training to go to, which we feel pretty good about.
Well, one of the things, as I have mentioned, that it's not necessarily a cultural competence training. It has to do more with educating folks on the state level about the role of tribes as sovereign governments. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, we go back to, and the very first class we did was probably a little too much of me talking, and it was, we injected and made it a lot more interesting as time went by, but it was me giving 500 years from the European encounters with the Native Americans, in 1492 up until the present day, the age of tribal self-determination. But there have been several eras of federal Indian policy, but we go through how the Europeans started making treaty-type agreements with Indian tribes. The English inherited that when the Americans won the Revolution. They inherited the treaty-making as well, and then there were a series of Supreme Court cases that changed things. So we walk people through the entirety of basically federal Indian policy, the way it evolved, everything from trying to make the Indians farmers in the 1880s to doing the Indian Reorganization Act in the 30s, and then trying to terminate the tribes in the 1950s. And now we are since the 70s, we've been in this age of self-determination. So we go through all this, and all the state employees were like, wow, I never heard of this. I didn't know. They don't know things like, hey, the tribes are sovereign, and we didn't know the state laws don't apply there. And I actually get to that part of the presentation, and I said, I make them soak that in for a second and go, the laws of states don't apply on reservations as a general rule.
Are we not educating our kids about these things in school? I'm thinking back as I'm listening to you talk, and I'm remembering fifth grade as, of course, this back in the dark ages. I'm remembering fifth grade as Minnesota History Month, and we really kind of, in today's vernacular, drilled down on the history of Minnesota. And yet I don't recall anything, learning anything at all about sovereign tribal governments?
No, I think we have daughters about the same age. I had my daughter was in school and in third or fourth or fifth grade or something, and she had her geography book, and it showed American Indians, and one was the Navajos and one was the Tlingit Haida tribe of up in Alaska, which are Indian tribes, federally recognized tribes, but. Anyway, they invited me into their class, and I said, there is an Indian tribe 20 miles down the road, and there are Indian people living here, right here in Duluth. In fact, I'm a member of a tribe. My daughter's, and they were, then they started writing me, or raising their hands and saying, do you live in teepees? Do you, anyway? So I said,
so
no.
We're not in all of, without dating either of us, we're not teaching our children any better about Native people in our own state than we were 30, 40 years ago.
Now, and interestingly, there are the states that are incorporating them more into the curriculum. Now, there are goals to do that in Minnesota, but it's not really implemented terribly well. Montana, they've managed to elect some Indians to the state legislature, and so they've actually become a national leader in educating K through 12 kids on Indian education. But there's all these state employees come up to me and say the exact same thing, which is, I'd never heard this before. This is amazing. So tribes are governments. And I had a friend who's a law professor. He gets a bunch of stuff to – gets opportunities to write stuff all the time. He said the one opportunity he took up was writing a high school civics book. And he just wanted to get one sentence that there are three sovereigns in the United States, the federal government, state governments, and tribal governments. And just getting that one idea into a civics book was a huge deal for him.
Well, Tad, I hope we have the opportunity to talk more about this, because it really is a fascinating mandate, and it can go a long way towards saving a lot of time and a lot of money, even if you take the human equation out of it, to obviously get things done the right way the first time instead of having to go back and say, oh, no, you did not consult with the sovereign nation. So I hope we have the opportunity to talk about this again coming up soon.
Anytime.
Thanks, Tad Johnson, our guest this morning in the studios here on Northland Morning.